Hello, and welcome to Priest Alive 40. Thank you all for joining us. I'm Matt Stoltz, and I am joined, as always, by Mikolas Sousa and Joseph Prusa. Hey. We have a great show for you guys today with the Wicked Makers YouTube channel team here to join us to talk a little bit about Halloween haunts and 3D printing. Let's kick off our show. Real quick, let's talk about where Joe is. Like, you're in this white ominous void of like, and yeah, you're all dressed up.
Yeah, I am at startup competition where I am a judge. So I sneaked away for like a half an hour, and I'm squatting in someone's office. So let's see if someone comes in. So
right. Someone already in the pre-show walked in and asked what he was doing in there. So,
but I will try to make it for at least the first segment, and then I will do my judge duties.
Yeah. So right. Yeah, his Wi-Fi is a little spotty. He's got judge duties, and we never know when the office owner is going to come kick him out. So if Joe disappears, no worries there. We're aware of the situations. So anyways, let's kick off with our Prusa Printers picks of the week, which Joe does not have with him, understandably, as he is off at this competition. But what do you have, Mickey?
I have a very great thing. From Get a Guy on Printables. It's featured on the homepage right now, very easy to find. And the neat little like side extra feature for me is that because it's 4x3 and the flash in our studio needs 4 AA batteries to work.
Perfect.
I can actually separate the sets because I don't want to mix them so the batteries are always at the same charge. So I just know which set for which flash is in each row. And it's a 2-hour print, and it's really quick, and that kind of saved me because I literally just printed before the show.
Yeah, that's great. Nice. We're running through like my flash competition categories like so fast, and I do think like battery storage might be one that I add to the list here soon, because we have some really great battery storage models out there, but I think there's so much opportunity there for like
storage. I love the beer crate idea.
I think
we are the most beer drinking country on the planet. Actually.
Yeah, I believe so. They always say Germans or Irish, but when you look at the stats, we are always just like
From my experience of being there, I this would not surprise me one bit.
Okay, Matt, what do you have as your pick?
Yeah, so speaking of the Quick Prints competition, I have the Gravity Broom Holder from our Wall Hooks competition. And this is really cool. So you can take something. I'm going to use a little Japanese pole saw here instead of a full broom, a little bit shorter. But you just kind of push it on in there, and then, it just holds. The gear comes down and holds it in place. And then when you want to take it out, just kind of lift it up and there you go. So, good for different size objects. So, this is the first of these that I've printed, but I'm actually going to print a bunch of them so I can hang a bunch of brooms and mops and saws and other things up. So, and this is by Lobo CNC. Really, really great model. And this,
Lobo, right.
Yeah. Yeah. This took off. This took first place in our flash contest for wall hooks.
I mean, if you just add one wall blocking you from getting it out, it's like one of the finger toys.
Yeah.
You will and
you will never be able to get it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
Yeah. So that's what I have. So let's move on to news. So, Mickey, the people have asked. They've been asking. But you have something to show off, don't you?
Yes. And I can look at my shortcuts all day long, and I will never forget them. And also, if I take a sip and stare at the stream, I can actually read the shortcuts. Yeah, we have the new merch, the Prusa Slicer keyboard shortcuts, and the keyboard shortcuts Mac. And if I can actually segue a little bit into really, really fresh news, just a few hours old.
This is more what I was bringing up.
were you?
We said we were going to do this first.
Oh, no. I mean, soon, that also. But
Oh, okay, nice.
I'm transitioning into the reward system on printables. And guess what? The Prusa Slicer Mac is now available for Prusa meters.
Oh, fantastic. So,
yeah, if people
I
have been...
I love the mug.
Yeah, it's really nice. I love it too. We had to... I think the Prusa Slicer team, all of them, they like, do you want, guys, like, if somebody wants it, I can like get them from the storage for you. And like everyone was like, oh, I need it. And then Vojta was taking some for his son, I believe, and the team was taking some extra for their kids. So it's really cute from them.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of mugs. We should order new ones. Just the team is 12 people. And if you add the families,
exactly,
it's like 200.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a feeling those are going to go pretty quick, especially, you know, with the only needing 250 meters on it and things like, those I think are going to be very popular.
Yes.
I need one for my like on show beverage instead of my giant cups of.
Yes. So that's the new merch. And then the thing you probably wanted to talk about. So while we have Joe here, because he will have to leave us for the Q&A segments to do his judging. We have a... Last time we promised we could do a short demo of the mini Wi-Fi. And as we promised...
We've been getting questions about mini Wi-Fi basically since show one. So it's very exciting to be able to show this off.
So we have a little demo for you. Hopefully it won't be too much of a slideshow. Okay, here we go. Yeah, so this is the ESP8266.
I mean, there is a chance right now that you can actually get it.
Yes. Someone enters the room where Joe is, I guess. And yes, so we just saw that being plugged into the body board on the Mini. And then you can see as you plug a file and you have the... there was the site opened on the phone. It pulls the thumbnails and the files from the USB flash drive that was just inserted. Boop, there it is. And then you have there's Prusa Connect, right? And then there's like the local web service that runs on the Mini. So this is the local thing that just, you know, your phone and your notebook and your Mini are in the same network, your home Wi-Fi. So you don't need to go through some external server. You just connect to it directly. And yeah, you can
upload models.
Upload models to the Mini. Ta-da! And you can see what's all in the storage. And also you can add the IP address and the EPIC key as a physical printer in Prusa Slicer, just like you would with Octoprint, for example. And then you can very easily just upload files to the Mini instead of using the flash drive. So that's a quick demo. The firmware is, I mean, the current state is in the repository, but there is not built yet because it is not tested. It will go through testing next week, I believe.
Yes, but for the release, we need to update the bootloader. So we are making the bootloader updater, so that will take just a little bit.
Yes, because the Mini needs to flash the ESP8266 so that you don't have to flash it externally. Yes. And we need space for that ESP8266 firmware.
Yes, and to use the external flash, which is on the board.
Yes.
But that's just the technicalities. But I think we are getting close to the beta.
Yes.
I'm really happy that we chose the ESP, this one, because a lot of people have them at home.
Yeah.
So you don't have to buy it in the market.
Yeah, and like you said, you can actually still buy them now, unlike, for example, Raspberry Pi 4 or many of these boards, which are now almost impossible to get.
It is bonkers. It is bonkers right now. You can't get anything.
Yeah.
So we are working full time to keep the manufacturing going.
I have a Pacum sitting right here.
Very nice. Yeah, so we will keep you updated. you know, the time frame will change a little bit based on how the testing goes, how the bootloader updates go. But yeah, we'll keep you updated, and when it's ready, you will be able to try the beta.
So as I see, one question in the chat about if there's a possibility to make a custom firmware. You technically can, but we have custom firmware in the ESP, which basically makes it into another network interface as Ethernet. So it doesn't matter. I think maybe you are actually able to use both, but it doesn't matter. And the printer actually speaks some API, I think. So you can actually upload models to it. Save my ass. It's compatible with Octoprint.
And also a lot of people obviously asking about Mark 3S Plus, and yeah, we're using the Pi Zero with the Prusa Connect beta, which similar kinds.
It is now open to anyone. For the Mark 3S, you need 0W, and the 0W is fine because.
Yeah,
it is much more efficient than the Octoprint behemoth, right? 1 million plugins installed.
But I believe also if you know people wanted to upgrade, the 0.2 works too. I believe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
Maybe you can find the older ones, or you have them in some project. But
yes.
You don't have to get the 0.2W, which again is unavailable anywhere.
Right. Yeah, Prusa Connect is streamlined enough that it runs just fine on the 0.0W and doesn't need the extra beefiness.
David, the firmware team leader, is watching closely as we showcase this, and he
Did I say something he didn't like?
He's very.
I didn't see the chat.
No, he's happy. He's saying exactly as Joe says. Both are possible, Ethernet and ESP, as you said, both can work, and that, yes, Octoprint API is supported. So that's that little update on the Wi-Fi on the Mini.
Fantastic. And we have, for those of you looking for new stuff to play with right now, while you wait for the Wi-Fi for the Mini or, you know, some of these other things to come out, Prusa Slicer 2.42 RC2 is out. So release Canada out there.
That's a mouthful.
It is, right? And so, so if you want to play around with the latest version of Prusa Slicer.
Did he just say release candidate 2 hours? 12 hours ago, it's the finalists out.
Oh,
yeah, I was
too
thinking.
Fast.
Too fast. This is what happens.
Yeah.
So it's mainly a bug fix release, but
yes.
there's one nice change. I think it was in the previous release candidate. In the object library, you have the plastic recycling symbols. So if you want to be, you know, in the future, you know that you will want to recycle the prints, you can just put them on the bottom of the model so you know what material it is. Or if you give it to someone and he decides to throw it away, there is at least a chance that it can be properly recycled. Because if there is a no sign, it just goes to the landfill or it's burned.
Yeah.
And they are now mirrored right away. Before they were, you know, the way you would normally look at them, but I've talked with the Prusa Slicer team and with our sustainability department, and yeah, everyone, I guess, sort of agreed that it makes sense to have them mirrored right away because the most obvious place where you're going to put them 99% of the time is the bottom, that is flat. So makes sense to have them mirrored. So yes, those are now, and I believe we are even we now have new bins in the office, right? For PLA and PTG, and we will be sorting the mess inside.
Yeah, but we are working. Unfortunately, during the COVID, it wasn't that much possible. But my goal is to have, you know, at least in every big city to have some place you can bring your waste prints and sort them out, and we can maybe get them back and recycle them into something useful. Most likely not filament, but we can use the big robotic arm printer and sorry. you can use the big robotic arm printer we have in the lab and make some nice stuff.
Yeah, and sheet good. And sheet goods are pretty easy too, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so, but
yeah,
but it is a pain to laser cut it or to mill it.
Yeah. At least PLA for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So contest we have going. The game tokens has a couple days left in that flash contest. It's running. Phone holders just ended, and we will have the updates coming for you soon for, you know, who the winners are on the phone and tablet stands. That'll come out this week. A new contest, of course, coming out every Friday for the flash contests, and the print tables contest is going, you know, full bore. So 430 entries, it's great.
It cracks me up every time. I mean, guys, did you have the idea when you were like celebrating the release and the relaunch of printables?
No, I heard it from the community.
This came straight from the community. Yeah. I had a bunch of community people making jokes about print tables to me, and someone did suggest you should do it as a flash contest, and I was like, no, I'm doing it as a full-blown contest. This is furniture. It'll take longer. So, yeah, this is straight out of our community. Gotta listen to the people.
By the way, when we are talking about principles, what are you thinking about Creality Cloud? I mean, we are taking years to build it properly, and now I'm just...
It's a mess. It's a total mess.
You should just import everything from the whole Thingiverse and set a price on it and sell it.
I mean, we keep a whole backup of Thingiverse just in case... that if somebody pulls the plug and we can verify that it is there is someone's account, then the models wouldn't be lost. But right. I mean, this is not right.
Yeah, the ethics of this have a big problem, and it has greater implications across the community and, you know, what it means for people to share their files and things like that. And so
yes,
we could spend an entire show just chatting about that, but it's also not worth giving them the time. So
yeah. I definitely don't want to get into it deeply, but there are a few guys on Twitter who are uncovering new stuff every moment. So
yeah, for sure. Okay, well, that's our news for the day. So and it just got real loud.
I think I have to stop.
I think that's your callback there, Joe.
It was a perfect timing. So yeah. I'm sorry I can't be here longer, but I'm also very happy that I managed to sneak out for half an hour. I was here pre-show and say hi to everyone and show the Wi-Fi preview and enjoy the rest of the show, guys, and see you in a month.
Yeah, see you, Joe.
See you, Joe.
Bye-bye.
All right. suddenly there's quiet.
Yeah.
So, okay. Let's go ahead and bring on Jamie and Jay of Wicked Makers and kick off there. So if you guys are anything like me, you know, Halloween is your absolute favorite holiday, especially to decorate. And, you know, now is already the time that you start thinking about the Halloween decorations and what you're going to be doing. Well, Jamie and Jay think about it all year round and are making amazing tutorials of how to make really great haunts in your own home, as well as, you know, other kind of related themed things. And they are recently new Prusa owners, and
hey guys,
we thought it'd be great to have them on to show off how they're using their machine and what they make. So
hey guys, thanks for having us.
Nice to have you on the stream.
I got let's say I think we got this, what, like maybe 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And It's been on like my wish list for a long time. So we finally, and I guess it was January when we finally got it. So very excited. Built the whole enclosure, set up, you know, the Raspberry Pi to control everything. And it's just been so fun to get it dialed in. And but anyway, happy to be here. Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah. So I gave a little bit of an intro, but if you guys want to talk a little bit more about like what your channel is and what you guys do.
Sure. So our YouTube channel has been around for about 3 years. And when we first started it, it was kind of a variety DIY. Like we're just going to make whatever, like we love woodworking and printing and tech and, you know, Arduinos and everything basically. And then we kind of found a niche with Halloween because it's kind of an underserved space for DIY, for really good tutorials and things, you know, relative to just spooky stuff, you know, skulls and skeletons and jack-o'-lanterns and just all kinds of stuff. So we kind of gravitated in that direction as we found some success there. And we've had a lot of fun basically making like what we like to think as really easy to follow tutorials for how to make super awesome Halloween decorations for your house. So if you like to decorate for Halloween or just love to kind of get into the season, you know, and inside your house, outside your house, we've kind of found our groove with making fun tutorials on how you can do that kind of stuff in a variety of mediums, you know, 3D printing, again, woodworking, foam work, like a lot of cosplay techniques, stuff like that. So that's kind of our thing.
Yeah, it's really surprising that for as popular, at least, you know, here in the U.S. as decorating for Halloween is and everything else, that like there is really kind of a limit to the number of high quality production, you know, good step-by-step YouTube channels out there that are doing it. It's like you guys and Van Oaks and, you know, it's kind of it for people that are doing it, you know, really regularly and doing it really, you know, really high production quality value. And so...
Yeah, thanks. I know Derek's listening, so. Awesome, awesome channel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is, you know, and that was, I think, one of our biggest motivations was we found this void, I guess you could say, which is hard to do and rare, I guess. And we really tried to dive in. And it still took us, what, like 2 years before mm-hmm. we really committed to it.
Yeah, in the beginning, we were like, We wanted to originally be in the variety channel. So we do a Halloween video and then we have to do another video that was non-Halloween. And we, you know, switch back and forth there. But in the last year or so, we've like committed full on for Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your first project that you actually decided to use the Prusa on, you know, is kind of Halloween, but it's actually video games inspired, right?
It is. Yeah. It's from the video game. Well, it's inspired by some fan art that was inspired by the game Sea of Thieves. So
yeah.
Sea of Thieves adjacent. But yeah, it's definitely from that video game. And we wanted to do a treasure chest. We love pirates. We love doing all, like we did the drinking skeleton. We've done a few props from Pirates of the Caribbean. Sea of Thieves is a game that both of us play pretty regularly. So we were looking for different pirate chest designs and we found this fan art that we had found, and we decided we were going to try and bring that to life.
There's a lot of 3D printing on this.
There is. Too. There's tons. So the skull, first of all, is 3D printed. We've got our big hinges and latches there, and we have three skulls actually there. And then on the very back are some 3D printed hinges as well.
Neat.
Yeah.
I know you guys regretted printing the skull in one piece, right? Because you then eventually ended up splitting it. How did that go? Did you cut it with a like a rotary saw or something?
We did, yeah. We printed the skull with the full back of its head, so we ended up having to like calculate and laser mark the angle of the skull to cut it to fit just right. It would have been so much easier just to print it with the angle.
Yeah, we always.
But that's part of the learning journey, right? Like, and you guys definitely like kind of presented that in, you know, in the video of like, you know, if we did it again, do it this way. And so, you know, we all learn through your mistakes, right?
Whenever we
the
are.
Thing was the teeth. I think Jay spent like hours just gluing the teeth back on.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. Oh man, you know, every project is like that though, right? It's like,
oh,
if
absolutely.
I could do, if you did this whole thing over again tomorrow, there's tons of stuff we would do differently. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and it's funny because I have a 3D background, and I'm not intimidated at all by like going in and changing the model and like making it exactly what I wanted to. The problem was we didn't plan anything, and we have a severe case of make it up as we go along. And we just got to the point where we're like, okay, this is going to be a huge print, and we don't have, you know, we were trying to decide between like, do we want to wait and figure it all out, or do we just want to go for it, you know, let this print overnight and just kind of wing it in the morning, which unfortunately tends to be the choice we make more too often. But yeah, and then, you know, like I said, we ended up with this full skull, which there's a time lapse of that on our I think it's on like Twitter and stuff, but it's just really, those are really fun to make. So I didn't mind printing the whole thing. But yeah, then we had to like glue all the little teeth back on individually, and I don't know, it was a bit of a mess.
Yeah, we have a running joke in here. Every time one of us is hacking something, a hammer or a saw, like we always say, if only there was a way, like a machine that would maybe lay down plastic that could make, you know, exactly the shape that I wanted. I guess we never learned also in here because, yeah, as you say, sometimes you just go along with it and then you find that you need to change the dimensions and
I don't know. I guess that's kind of our thing. Like we just get inspired along the way and don't really, I mean, we try, you know, there's obviously we plan to a point. We have a pretty good idea of what we want to make and the general idea. Like we knew we wanted to use foam. We knew we were going to print the skulls. Like, so we have like some basics, but often we just kind of plow ahead and see what happens.
Right. So that brings up a good point. What is the rest of the chest? Excuse me. What is the rest of the chest made from?
So this part of it is like insulation foam, so it's kind of rigid and it's really nice because you can carve into it. And then the metal part is made of
EVA foam.
EVA foam, which is the cosplay foam.
Yeah.
And so we used for like the rigid, you know, wooden parts, the faux wood. We used the hard XPS foam because that's really nice. And then we were able to mold the the EVA foam, which is softer. You can kind of mold that around the corners and it's easier to sculpt for that kind of stuff. And then added some electronics. So there's, you know, obviously some LEDs inside the skull and we've got everything tucked neatly up inside, you know, the top. So even if you open the chest, if we eventually want to put treasure and stuff in it, you know, you won't see any of the mechanics, which is cool. And then it's not in there because I wanted to show you, but this thing is like my favorite part. It's a little...
It's amazing. I love that shot in the video.
Is really cool. So we have actually a tube that kind of runs through the top and kind of and the smoke basically leaks out of the front of the face, and we cut like cracks and stuff. So if you've ever played the game Sea of Thieves, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. There's like mystical skulls, you know, with like there's always like smoke and mist and glowing, and so we're trying to like, you know, stick with that theme.
Awesome.
It's very cool. Yeah. So you guys had kind of brought up the subject of inspiration. What inspires you guys on the projects that you make? Like what really like gets you guys going to say, you know, that's what we're going to make. And, you know, especially, you know, we have so many people who come onto the show and it's their channel, right? Like you two have to like, have to decide amongst two people, like, you know, are there ever any bitter arguments of what the next project is going to be because someone's more excited about something than the other?
Not
We've never had a bitter argument. No, for sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know,
we do have a list of like 200 ideas that we pick through and are constantly adding.
That's
to.
Impressive. Yeah.
So, you know, when we both decide land on an idea and we both like it, that's what we're going to make.
Yeah. You know, ironically, Halloween was her idea. And like, it's not a thing that I naturally would have been like, yes, let's go all in on this one little niche. Even though I love, you know, even like way before YouTube, we were super into like doing, like we have a whole haunt set up at our house. And like, we have the local news comes out to our house and does like a thing on our yard and people come from all over the place. And like, so that was first. But I never like associated the two, you know, with making videos and stuff, and so that, you know, you've always been the huge Halloween inspiration, and then, but yeah, I mean, gosh, we actually agree a lot, and we get a lot of comments and dialogue from people who are like, God, I wish that my wife and I could have the same kind of creative relationship, or or vice versa. And we work hard to nurture it, you know, keep it going, because it helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You guys can absolutely choose to pass, but you mentioned having a haunt. Well, actually, it says right there, you're in Round Rock, Texas. And so, yeah, because I was going to say, if people want to check out your haunt when Halloween comes around, where do they need to go? So,
right now, they go on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah, we're not quite, like, we try to keep it low-key, just you know, for obvious reasons. But
For sure.
Yeah, we'll likely be posting some video. We actually don't always post. We don't usually post like a major video of our whole setup, but we might do that this year. So we'll see.
Awesome. No, we've been promising one, but we haven't done it yet.
It's actually really hard to do because we tend not to have the entire thing like going full blast until it's actually Halloween. Mm. And then we want to enjoy the night, right? And not be in video mode. So we try to like turn things off and go out and have fun with our kids and go trick or treating and not be in like, okay, I got to spend the next 6 hours getting a perfect video. And like, cause it's only like, it's not even the whole day. It's like 3 hours of the day. It's like from like right before sun goes down till about 8 o'clock, the whole year builds up for that one little window of time.
I said that, you know, at least partially for me, one of the excitements about it has been with kind of the lack of maker fairs in the, you know, the world because of COVID, like this is my own private front yard maker fair. And it like, it gives me the aimed time of like, okay, projects have to be done and you have to make all these things for this thing. And it has that exact same feel of like rush, do it. Few hours, it's gone, you know, until the next year. And so
I have to say I'm a little bit envious about Halloween now, seeing your creations, because here in Prague, Czech Republic, it's you know, people do costumes and there's like Halloween parties, but there's not really trick or treating. So
I think you know what you have to do.
I guess I have to start a movement.
Well, yes. Yes. I was also going to say, Mickey, I have a guest room. You can just come help me with my haunt next year. And so.
Thanks. I need to add that to my bucket list to experience Halloween in the U.S., I guess.
Yeah, it definitely. I think it's one of those things that the more I kind of hang out with people from other places, like I realize like it's something that we do very special and original that like no one else does. And I don't know. I mean, part of it's the spooky kid in me, but like, it's just, you know, so much fun to, you know, embrace this and kind of go crazy with it.
Mm-hmm. That was something that was interesting to me. Like when we got into it, was it's not a worldwide audience, which a lot of DIY is. So that was interesting to know. Actually, a lot of people in Germany, are celebrating Halloween, which was surprised. And in the UK it's decent, but US is definitely like our main market.
Yeah, I was talking to my Australian friends and they're like, yeah, we don't have Halloween at all. And I was just like, why would you live there? Like, this is not.
To be fair, like, you know, they would have to walk like 500 miles to go to the next next house. So,
yes,
not
yes,
ideal.
There is that. Yes, there is that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so what tools for your projects can you guys just not live without? Like what are your like go-tos for making some of these things happen?
The hot glue gun for sure. Great for like instant bonds. It's not the most secure if you're gonna have a prop out in the sun, but if you want that, you know, quick bond, it's good for that. The heat gun, I think we use that a lot. It's great for like deforming the foam, and also you can seal the foam with it. And what else do we use?
Utility knife. If you're doing foam work, it's like the simplest. It's just a sharp knife. You know, you can do wonders with a knife. Yeah. You know, just keep it sharp. And so that's something we have around a lot. Just like a drill. You know, like literally a hand drill. Like every project we use a drill. That's not an exciting answer. But, what else?
But we try and keep the tools pretty simple when we make our tutorials to things that everyone has.
We literally made a video about this. I can't remember what the answers are.
I mean, it's great. It's great though, because it's really accessible, right? Like, you know, the majority of our audience that already has 3D printers and is working on 3D printing projects and things like that, you know, they're not going to have to go out and buy a bunch of extra things to be able to like pull off these kind of projects, right? You know, it's not just
like taking up woodworking where you're going to need a bandsaw, right, and a table saw and a planer, right, and a joiner and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, a lot of it's more about technique than it is, you know, anything else.
Oh, a rotary tool is very helpful.
Oh yeah, like a Dremel. Dremel. Paper. That all the time we use that. And then just like basic stuff like scissors, like nice paint brushes. We do a lot of painting.
Also crappy paint brushes.
Yeah.
I do a lot of painting with crappy paint brushes because it gives you great texture.
Yes, yeah. 100%. You don't need like fancy, like really nice brushes or anything really. Just old stuff works really well. And one thing that's really cool about Halloween props is a lot of the aesthetic is like old, broken, creepy, you know, kind of like run down. So like your stuff doesn't have to look nice and perfectly polished. You know, it's like, it's literally supposed to look old and kind of messed up and dirty. You know how like in the early days of video games, like everything was like dirty, industrial, like, you know, yeah, it's like the same logic, because that's easier to make. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time. So it's the same with prop making, where you can kind of make things just look old. And a lot of our props go outside, so we have to like weatherproof them and stuff. So we don't really care about it being like this perfect, pristine thing that you can inspect like this, you know, and not find flaws. Most people are going to see it from like 40 feet away, and it has to survive in the weather. So yeah, we use a lot of old paintbrushes and stuff like that. And,
I think you kind of bring up a good point that for, you know, those people who might be interested in getting into prop, not just prop making, but, you know, maybe the cosplay world and things like that, that, you know, a lot of the Halloween prop making is a very forgiving, you know, start to learning faux finishes and, you know, some of these other techniques, because everything's supposed to look, you know, quite as grizzled as it is.
Hmm. Yeah, your channel is also a nice reminder that, you know, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail head. Like with 3D printer, I sometimes forget that, you know, if I look at what you make, I would sometimes get locked in the mindset like, oh, how am I gonna 3D print the whole thing? Like, don't do that. This is a huge thing. Just use the EVA foam or something way more sensible. So
yeah.
Sometimes, you know, cost is obviously a big consideration for a lot of people. And, you know, all that said, one of the things that I'm really excited about is bringing new tools like 3D printing to the Halloween community, because it's very old school. It's very like, it's very caught in an older era of making, which is not a bad thing at all. It's actually amazing, because people are so like, the ingenuity in the haunting community, like people use things like old wiper motors from cars to like make animatronic ghosts and stuff like that, you know, like really ingenious, cost-effective solutions to make these phenomenal experiences. But at the same time, there's like a lack of new tech in the space. So it's really fun to bring in things like printing. And I think, you know, I'm sure this comes up a lot with what you guys are doing, but like, it used to be really expensive. There's a huge barrier to entry to printing. And now obviously those costs have come down a lot, but at the same time, you know, like if you've ever seen those 12-foot skeletons from Home Depot, those things cost like $400.
Oh yeah,
they're really expensive, right? So people, you know, people are out there spending a few dollars on their Halloween setups, and I think having a tool like printer that gives you the obvious flexibility to like, you know, make everything is very exciting, and I think it's something that we're slowly trying to bring in to kind of show everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, kind of to the juxtaposition of Mickey's point and you know, also to yours, of like the combination of the classic techniques with 3D printing. It's like, you know, taking your chest, for example, hand modeling all of those skulls to look all exactly the same and everything else would be something that would be very tedious to do if you were using kind of more traditional techniques. And so you can save a lot of time, save a lot of energy, and get kind of a better finished product by, you know, incorporating this tool into the tool chest, right? So
100%, yeah.
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 And then, yeah, knowing when to use the actual physical stuff, like the foam, like printing out all of these planks would take forever. But if you're using the foam, you're just like a couple carves and, you know, it's done. So, yeah, knowing when to use the printer to save time is definitely key.
Yeah.
And the customization of it, too. Like so if you're a Sea of Thieves fan, you probably notice that this model is from the game, essentially. Like, we actually... We basically licensed this from an artist who had already modeled like the exact skull that we wanted to use, and that enabled us the flexibility to use like the right aesthetic, right? So, you know, you can get like, you know, these are just plastic skulls from the store. We totally could have just used one of those. It would have been a lot easier, but we really wanted it to look exactly like the aesthetic we were going for, which 3D printing affords us the ability to do that. So.
Right.
One of the best parts for me.
So you guys have made tons of projects, but do you have anything that you would call out and say, like, that this is our favorite? We love this project.
The Dark Portal.
The Dark Portal. Yeah.
The Dark Portal's amazing.
Yeah, that one was so fun. I love how just giant it is, and it just makes this huge statement. And it was fun to make. It was relatively easy to make. I mean, it's huge, but the actual techniques used to make it were not difficult at all. And
yeah, it was basically the same as the tombstones that you had made before, just much, much larger, right?
Yes, definitely. So that's the Christmas version.
Right.
yeah, it's basically the XPS foam and carved to look like the stone. There you can see the animation in there.
So that thing is 10 feet tall.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then so we have LEDs inside the columns there. And then we have a scrim hanging in the center. And then you can see the projector light kind of in the background there. So we're back projecting that video on there.
Yeah. This thing was like a game changer because, like Jamie said, it was like a lot of relatively... like very doable techniques just applied at scale, right? Like just do the same thing, but do it bigger and do a lot of it. And then we ended up with this just iconic thing.
You set the bar very high. I bet the kids in your street are now kind of like putting pressure on you a little bit, expecting what you're gonna make for the next Halloween.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they definitely come back every year and look for the new things. Yeah, this last year we did our drinking skeleton. He was a lot of fun. I think people liked him a lot.
Yep, drinking skeleton was awesome. We really like pirate stuff. Like Pirates of the Caribbean is a huge inspiration for me. One of my favorite movie series. Just growing up, I've always loved just pirate stuff. So. What we try to do a lot is like replicate some of the props, some of the more iconic props from the ride at Disney World or Disneyland. We try to like remake those so that people can make them at home. This is kind of one of those. We also did the fire windows was something that got people pretty fired up. I did not even mean to do that. we caught some heat on that one. very, very polarizing project because our neighbor we made this like very realistic fire effect, which is again straight out of Disneyland. Like that's where we got the idea.
Yeah.
And it looks very, very real. And our neighbor is a fireman, and we like consulted with him. We were like, how do we do this in a way that's not going to freak people out and get the fire department called? And he gave us some tips, but it didn't. Yeah, people still were. A lot of people loved it. A lot of people were very angry. We would show the world how to do that. So yeah, very cool.
Yeah, very, very cool stuff. I will leave with, is there any place, you know, we've seen the Instagram, we've talked about the YouTube channel. Is there any place else that you guys want to plug that anyone can see your work or?
We've been doing shorts on TikTok. Those are fun.
Yeah, I've for as silly as it is, I've recently gotten totally hooked on TikTok. I am incredibly impressed by the maker community on TikTok. And
it's amazing.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
The whole TikTok platform is like very, a very polarizing thing also, but there is some amazing content for DIY stuff on there. Yeah. So that's the thing. We have a Patreon where we offer, like, the 3D printed files from this chest are available on our Patreon. And a lot of awesome people just, like, our content is seasonal, right? So we really only produce, like, our big videos for 3 or 4 months out of the year. So having support from patrons all year long, like, is huge. It's, so we try to, you know, try to help people out and offer assets. Like, the videos from our Dark Portal and stuff are available on there to patrons. So.
Oh, and our Discord. We have a really fun community on our Discord channel that talks about Halloween projects and other types of projects. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, Discord is an awesome place. Yeah, if you're interested in making Halloween props or just want to talk to other awesome makers and people, you know, the Discord link is on our YouTube, and I'm sure we can throw in chat after this.
Yeah, the YouTube link for your channel is in the description, and then in the About page you have links for all your other things, so for anyone who's watching, that's probably the easiest way to do that right now.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Well, guys, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks.
It was great to finally, like, really talk to you and not just interact over the web some, although I guess it still is over the web, but a little bit more real feeling. So yeah, step closer for sure. So, you know, you guys have inspired my haunts and have helped me along the way. And I can't wait to see what you guys do in the future and to share with you guys what I do in the future. So fantastic.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Bye.
They're fun.
Yes, the builds are. I can't imagine having, you know, someone who builds these projects for Halloween in my street. I would look forward for Halloween so hard.
I've only been doing it for the past 2 years, but my neighbors are, like, so excited to see what I have coming next as I continue, like, building up the haunts at my house, you know, which is, again, nothing compared to what those guys do. But, you know, I have used their tutorials, again, along with Van Oaks, to, you know, to kind of inspire and make some of the things, and, you know, pushing things my own directions too. And yeah, the neighborhood loves it. All right, so let's talk about our Prusa Live contest.
Yes, I already have that pulled up.
Fantastic. So, just a reminder, every episode of Prusa Live, you guys have a chance to show us what you guys are working on, and Mickey and I pick our favorite prints for each episode. So send us a tweet with hashtag Prusa Live in it, and you have a chance of winning some filament. So let's take a look at what our favorites are this month. So how about number three?
Number three for this month is Jan Ervik Velbek. I sorry if I didn't say that name right. It's kind of difficult for me. But it's
That's
these,
a tough one.
Yeah, it's those X. I'm sure you've seen them online. You know, Edge Publishers have been doing them for quite some time. So now that Easter is just over, it's... I guess it was perfect time to share those. So yeah. they are on printables if you want to print them. And
this is a nice kind of, you know, fun little thing to do instead of necessarily candy, right? Especially for kids that, you know, might not be able to have candy and things, like, you know, these fun little Easter eggs with toys inside.
I kind of want to play with them. I can totally see kids going wild in these cars and lorries. So, awesome.
Good
work.
For kids of all ages.
Yes. Awesome print and awesome model in this case.
Yeah.
Because Ervik also models them. Moving on to number two. Do-do-do-do-do. We have Extra Tim, who I believe we had we featured on the show before.
I believe so, yes.
And it's the awesome Landy Mini from 3D Sets. And we just had Comic-Con Prague, and this model was on the Prusa booth. And I spent like 5 minutes just playing with it, and yeah, it's
great. I'm sensing a theme here, Mickey. Of...
Yeah, this one is really fantastic print. So nice job, Extra Team. This is a really kind of big project to print. This is not something you can do in an afternoon. So, yeah, really, really nice work there, getting all the little details.
Yes, fantastic.
Okay, and that leaves us with the first place. And especially the first layer of this print is amazing. I'm just kidding. But it's by first layer.
Yes.
it's the Pinocchio print modeled by Red Dead Steve. And only wood filaments. I can't believe someone did MMU print with this many colors, but only with wood filaments. My head hurts just thinking about it.
Yeah, it's really impressive. Is it MMU or is it a slot together afterwards?
Oh.
I think you build it up afterwards.
Okay, that makes more sense. Because wood fills...
But still,
yeah. Right. Wood plus MMU would be probably really difficult to print, but wonderful, wonderful print.
I love the, you know, the kind of joke on this, right? Like he's a wooden boy, and so you know, the wood fill filaments.
Yeah.
But also the surface quality and the kind of, I don't know, the antiquiness of the color scheme of it.
Yeah.
I loved how this came out.
And I bet you can
see even in my comment below on Twitter there. So
I bet even holding the print in your hand, you know, the wood fill feels different. It's
exactly. It has a texture to it.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, really wonderful print. So congratulations, first layer, again for winning the first prize.
And congratulations to all three of our winners, and you know, thank you to everyone who entered.
Yeah.
It was great. All right. So we have a few minutes left. Do we have any questions out there?
I just saw before one from Totally Glitch. He was asking about if we're going to add EEPROM saving for the Mini in case he's using the Bontech upgrade. That was added in a recent upgrade. It's not very obvious. I believe it's some submenu. But you can definitely save the e-steps for example, the Bontech upgrade. So that's definitely there. And then someone from, was it Taiwan? Brian Chu was leaving a few questions. He unfortunately couldn't watch the stream. So he's asking about the TMC2209s on Mark III S Plus. That's the steppers we use on the Mini, right? I believe. These are the
I believe ones. So, yeah.
Yeah. If we could use them on the Mark III S Plus. I don't think that's planned at the moment, like specifically a switch to these steppers. But yeah, if we're talking about loudness, then... I would say, I think the loudest part of the Mark III S Plus is the fairly quiet fans, but still the fans are the most loud parts. I'm not sure if that would really make a huge difference. But yes. Oh, David, again, the firmware team leader is in the chat for the help. Experimental menu, long press, the hardware settings, you know, menu line in the settings. And then you can do all the settings for custom extruders. So yeah, and TMC2209s indeed are on the Mini and not planned on the Mark III S Plus because they have a different interface. But that's that.
Yeah, until we have kind of a different board to run them, it probably wouldn't make sense.
Thank you, Uncle Jesse. He says a fantastic interview with Wicked Makers. Yeah, they are great. The projects are really quite incredible.
Yeah. It's a slight bit of a departure from the normal in that it wasn't quite as 3D printing, you know, intense, but, you know, I think it's a good fit, and, you know, we should be doing more stuff that crosses.
Nexin is asking about, that's a wild, question I don't get that often. The music that we use for our product announcement videos, if we make it or if we license it, it's a little bit mix of both. I don't normally really share where we get that music because I don't want, I guess, it's a part of the secret, right? I don't want others to copy it too much, but some of it is from Artlist, so that's one of the sites that we use to license it from, and I quite like it. It's pretty nice, and the licensing there is very fair, especially for us as the ones that use the music. I hope it's just as fair for the creators, but it looks like it, so that's quite nice site where you can get this music from. Artlist. Yeah, lead times are, I don't really like them too, but yeah, right now it's so bad. We are, you might have noticed that, for example, we released two new SL1S firmwares just so it works with different components, because there's shortages all over the place. So we are trying really hard to, you know, if one part is not available, to find a equal quality replacement, but usually, you know, it's not identical, so we have to make some changes elsewhere, but we are trying everything we can. But yeah, roadmap to reduce shipping delays, lead times, I think we would love to share, but
it's like the underwear gnomes from South Park, right? Step one, fix global supply chain issue. Step two, something, something, something. Step yeah. three, problem solved.
We have one manufacturer who we buy some goods from, and the lead times for some of the parts were 72 weeks, and we were like, that's so bad, but, you know, could be worse. Well, so we called them, and they were like, oh no, it's more, but the system doesn't allow us to put in more than 72 weeks. That's like the hard limit in the software that someone set up, because the software didn't expect that they would be longer lead times than that. But
yeah,
it's completely insane. But we are trying what we can.
I mean, again, it's the same thing as we were discussing earlier when we were talking about the mini Wi-Fi. Like, you know, try getting hold of a Raspberry Pi right now. You know, the lead times are absolutely ridiculous. You know, I'm seeing things out there that some of the resellers are basically limiting that if you haven't bought products from them before, you yeah. can't buy Raspberry Pis from them when they come available, because the black market on them is so ridiculous.
I've seen that too, like them listing the Pi 4, and then everyone who bought it in the first half a second are bots, so they are banning them, deleting the orders, and they did a few rounds of this before actual orders from real customers started coming. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Omaha 3D Prints is saying he would love lightning infill in Prusa. So this is something that the Ultimaker Cura team has developed, and they are open source, and we have it in some internal build of Prusa Slicer. So I'm pretty sure it will be in the future build of Prusa Slicer. And Vexter is asking, how is the weather in Prague in June? Asking for a friend. usually it's quite nice, so we can only hope.
I have only been there in June, and I will say that it's been very lovely.
Fardus is asking for behind the scenes on the stream setup. So, yeah, it will be a longer thing, but just really quickly, I have a GH5 looking at me that goes into a stream card. I have three screens in front of me. One of them is OBS, so I can always see that the stream is going well. I have another stream of the chat and another stream with the video call. And yeah, just OBS, nothing really too crazy.
And I have a half-broken laptop. a normal webcam, and at least now a decent mic. So
the mic is quite nice. I'm really... Yeah, and OBS is another open source
right.
project, so it's really lovely to, you know, from Blender to OBS to, for example, our Prusa slicer. It's quite wild how much open source software is now moving the world. I mean, not even talking about Linux and the whole server right. infrastructure of the whole world.
Yeah. That actually is our call. That's 4 o'clock.
That's it.
Unless you have something super exciting there that you wanna.
Yeah, I guess a lot of the questions. Let's just say that Prusa Slicer 2.5 is in full development. The last release was just a patch update that was being developed on the site on the Perl, but 2.5 is in full swing and it has so many awesome features. And I'm sure we'll talk about them in depth when it's ready to show.
Yeah, for sure. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. It's been great to have you all. And, you know, we appreciate you guys tuning in. It's what keeps us coming back every month. So thank you very much. Thank you to Jamie and Jay from Wicked Makers. Be safe. Have fun. Keep printing. We will see you in a month.
Bye, everyone. See you in the next stream. Bye.